Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, REO, back once again with another 6 weeks of journeying through Abba Yah's word here at Ibrit Culture by the way of Kol Elohim. That's Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland. Once again, I'm your brother, REO. Been a good while since Abba Yah have put me in front of his congregation and allowed me to speak. Good while. And to be honest, I miss speaking and teaching his word and allowing him to come through me and use me. And sometimes I'm obedient and I get out of the way, and sometimes I don't get out of the way, but either way, I will be done. This will be done. Either way. If we get out of his way or we roll with him, his will be done. Brother Dave Well last week brought it out about how Abba have a way of persuading us to do his will one way or another. One way or another. He know how to persuade us to get on board. And if we don't get on board, sorry to say, is he know how to get rid of you too. He know how to discard you too. So we would rather get on board with Abba Yah than get discarded by him, right? Right. Well, we know y'all heard the music. And matter of fact, before I get to talking, because I feel excited, you know, about this last lesson of the breach in the spirit. I know y'all was like, oh, no, he's supposed to be coming with something new. We did that, 6-7 weeks ago, at least 7 weeks now. And we brought the breach in the spirit. But when I sat down, I trust and believe, y'all did give me something else. He did. He gave me, so for 5 weeks, we'll be going through what is evil and pulling out the word and just things around in this world system that we may not even understand or know that is evil in the sight of Abba Yah. And if you yourself is somewhat of a believer, been walking for years or just started the other day, you know that the world has evil backwards. You know, the word says that. The word says that they're going to look at good and call good evil, and they're going to look at evil and call evil good. So it has it backwards. But even sometimes for believers, we even don't understand what is evil in the eyes of Abba Yah. What is evil? You know, you will have somebody who's a staunch believer in a faith, we'll put it like that, and they would tell you, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do none of that stuff. I don't defile the temple of the Most High, right? I don't defile the temple of the Lord. I haven't drink and smoked in 20, 30 years. But did you eat crabs? Did you eat ham? Did you eat shrimp? Y'all understand what I'm saying? And somebody may be on the line like, hold up, I eat those things. I do that thing. And I'm one of those who say, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I keep clean the temple of the body, right? Of the Lord. Right? They will say these things. When you ask them, you know that's a sin to eat shrimp. You know that's a sin to consume pork, to eat crabs, right? But they don't smoke, they don't drink. Because in their eyes, that's evil. Defiling the temple, to be a drunkard, the scripture says, you'll defile the temple, right? To be a gluttonous, you can be a person who overeats and eats too much, do anything in excess, right? Defiling the temple. But we're not talking about that tonight, you know. I just wanted to lay a small foundation of how the world think of evil. You know, even quote-unquote believers, what they believe that is evil. I didn't heard that this week. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't do that. And it's like a dignified thing, they tell you, like, your chest a little poked out, they feel a little good about themselves. I don't do that. And you're like, well, I do it. And so I guess you're looking at me as a practicing sinner or as someone who defiles the temple. But they don't understand. They don't know. But that's why we have the word of Yahweh, so we can understand, so we can know, right? We can know. But let me open up with a prayer, and we'll get into the word of Yahweh. I guess anybody send me no text or nothing to see if I was on there. So I'm going to go ahead and go with, I'm coming through clear. I'm coming through clear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, thank you once again for bringing us to the door of the Shabbat. We can't wait to enter into your Shabbat rest, Father. Thank you for allowing us to get here, Father. For those who are on their way, Father, in any capacity, Father. May they be practicing it in their mind, Father. May they don't even know about your Shabbat, but you have spoken to someone who had them on this path to start walking through the door of the Shabbat, Father. May you continue to bring them this way, Father, and those that are walking this way and waiting for the door of the Shabbat to be open, Father, may you keep them, Father. May your hands be around them. May your Malachim, your angels, always watch over them, Father, when they go to the left and to the right, Father. May you forgive us for our sins, Father, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. May you continue to put Yahushua at the forefront of our minds, Abba Yah. May your Torah be at the forefront of our minds, Abba Yah. And with those who are ailing, Abba Yah, Ema's Father, the Mother's Father, the Elder's Father, the Hoary-Head's Father, the Yellow Dee's Father, the Children's Father, the Aki's Father, the Brother's Father, the Kohanim, the Priest's Father, anyone within the banner of Yahushua and keeping your commandments, Abba Yah, that you touched them, that you healed them, for the nation of Israel, Father, I ask, Father, that you continue to move us towards Zion, Father. Continue to bring us to your holy mountain, Father. But, Father, that's where we yearn to get back to. We yearn to get back to Zion, Father, when you came down on that mountain and spoke to us, Father, as a nation, Father. For the stragglers, Father, for those who are feeble-minded, Father, continue to help them, Father. Continue to hedge them up as well, Father. All of Yisrael, Father, continue to keep their heads around us, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Let me get my glasses. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you who sanctify the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Amen. What was that right there? Todah, Aki. Todah, Todah. Hallelujah. I'm coming through, brother. Let me know I'm coming through loud and clear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, we're going to finish up this last segment of A Breach in the Spirit of what Yahweh has given us, and the thoughts that he was giving us is we won't just go back over the last, this is about 2.5 months now since we last been through it, A Breach in the Spirit, and just going to try to skim through it, give an update, a real quick update on what we went through for those who haven't. And if you have not, Beth Yahweh here. We have Kol Elohim, which we're on now. And it's every lesson on Blog Talk is archived. And that means it's saved. So we can always go back and listen. And trust me, we got over, it's a good, I forgot how many on it, but it's a lot. A couple thousand of lessons on it. A couple thousand, I believe. It's a lot of lessons. So it's a wealth of knowledge and Yahweh have been given the mores and the morah, teachings that touches every subject, I believe, that you can go on there, and if you want to learn about it, is on there. Every subject that you can possibly think about when it comes to the word of Yahweh. And as Rabbi used to say, they was only just scratching the surface. Because we can have a multitude of lessons on there that touch a multitude of subjects. That doesn't mean that was taught in the totality of those subjects. I hope y'all understand what I was just saying, what I just tried to say. Is if we talked about marriage, there's something on there that's talking about marriage, it can go even deeper into marriage. That's what I'm saying. So go back, listen to the lessons. It's a multitude. It's a wealth of knowledge. It is a wealth of knowledge. And thinking about Rabbi, once again, I got a chance to go back and listen to him. I was telling Brother Harvell, I believe, this week or last week, that I miss Rabbi's voice. I was missing his voice, and I wanted to hear a lesson of his. And I know in my book band that I kept Rabbi in there. I kept lessons in there, in the CDs, right? Majority, we stream everything now, so, you know, CDs get hot. So I put in a lesson last week, and I'm like, wow. And just heard the love for Abba Yah and the love for Israel, the way he taught. And understood the foundation that Abba Yah through him was given to us. And he was teaching about the gematria and going into breaking these words down, and the gematria is a way that you can calculate the letters of Hebrew, the Hebrew letters. And you can get more information. You can get a deeper understanding of that. And I was like, what? He was breaking it down and going into the mem, the closed mem and upper open mem. And I know I'm talking about some things that somebody may not hear or may not understand, but stick with it. Stick with it. Trust and believe Yahweh, if one of the more said it, Yahweh going to come back and confirm it through another one. Trust and believe that. How I know that, because what I was listening to in that CD, Rabbi Yaakov came back and he confirmed it through some lessons. And on top of he taught us and laid the foundation and built on the foundation. The Hebrew alphabet is also, you can draw pictures of the Hebrew alphabet and you can learn things like the olive that would be symbolized as cow head, right? And the bet will be symbolized as a house. Back in the day, in ancient times, before they wrote actual letters, they would write a house, and that would be for bet. That would understand a house, right? So he built on that. And what Abba was showing us, the foundation, how I've been bringing y'all, Beth Yahweh, all these years, how I've been leading y'all and guiding y'all. Remember the voice of Rabbi Gershom McDaniel saying years ago that I know Yahweh loves us just on the lessons that he gives us. Just on the lessons that he gives us. But now you go on YouTube, you go on Facebook, and you got a multitude of people talking about the alphabet, the Hebrew language. When I first came in, very few people were talking about the Hebrew language. The lessons that we were getting 20 years ago, they are still not understanding some of the lessons that have been taught 20 years ago. And for me, that lesson was old. He came off of Collington Street when I wasn't even a part of the congregation. It wasn't even thought for me to be a part of the congregation at that time. That was probably like 20, 21 years old at that time. So that long time ago. I'm 52 now. So we know how long ago that was, if you do the math. The building of the foundation that had continually been here. The love that Abba, the Father, has for us. Because he continually to build. Not so we can be big-headed. Not so we can brag. Come to understand. So we can know that he loves us. That we can come to believe in his word and can stand on his word. Period. We can stand on his word. Regardless. Back to the breach of the spirit. And again, this is, the breach has been healed. And that was the last one that Abba gave me with this lesson, a breach in the spirit. And we go back to the beginning of this lesson, the breach in the spirit. We go back to the beginning and how it talks about a hole. When Adam and Hawa first did what they did in biting the fruit, they fell. They changed from those holy beings that they were into what we are today, right? Something happened when they sinned. When they first sinned, something happened to Adam and Hawa. A hole was put in somewhere in the spirit. And we had a multitude of guests that come on and talk about their in mental illness and grief and childhood trauma. We had a multitude of these people, and they came on, these brothers and sisters, and gave their story. So they can get it out. They can release whatever that was holding them. Gave them a space where they can talk about whatever was going on with them. Maybe it had them 10, 15, 20 years. Didn't matter. Yahweh gave us a space and a time to get it out. And they did. They did. They came in and they aired out these feelings. And throughout all those brothers and sisters who aired out their feelings, somebody got released. Somebody should have. Yah to start using them so they can be released. So they can release someone. So they can share their story. We can start healing this breach. But even before that, Abba Yah wants to show us and tell us through his word that, hey, already filled those breaches. That thing that Adam did, I filled it. And we know how, but we're going to go through the word of Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh going to show us how. Maybe somebody on the line don't know. Somebody on the line who are not familiar with the act or the deed that took place, or they got the wrong idea about it again, right? They're calling on some other name. They're calling on some other deity. Giving them the praise and honor, right? So we're going to start off in, and I'm going to read, first I'll start off in the, my first scripture is in Yeshayahu 61, 1 through 3, but I'll be reading in the WEBA. Give me a second to find it. Isaiah 61, 1, 2, 3, family. Yahweh is upon me because Yahweh have anointed me to preach good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and release to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of Almighty One, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give to them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And that right there, if we just listen closely, right, and we shema these things, we slow down, just listen to the word of Yahweh. It speaks to us. It speaks. He gonna give these things joy, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Instead of that spirit of heaviness, I'm gonna give you the garment of praise. Why? Because you're going through something right now. Something is heavy upon you. Everybody know it. See you praise him. You have joy. Not all the time. For the most part, when they see you, you have joy, you have a garment, you have praise. Glorified. So he may be glorified. So we go through some of these things. So at the end, we rely on Yahweh. We call to Yahweh, and he gets the glory. We're going to read through all that. We're going to see all that. Again, the breach has been filled. It has been filled. But for this one scripture family, I want to go to the King James Version, because in this King James Version, I could just hit the button or hit the word and it explains it to me. It goes right into the definition of it. And this is in Jeremiah 17:14. Just want to look up something in here, in the first verse of Jeremiah 17:14, the very first word. Heal me, O Yahweh, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art free. And I wanted to look up this word heal, because that's where Abba took me at about 6-7 weeks ago when I was sitting down to do the last lesson. And that is from the Hebrews Concordance 7:4-9:5, where we know that the angel Raphael, right? This is Rapha. A primitive root, properly to mend, to mend. So when Abba heals us, he closes up whatever was open. Close me up, O Yahweh. Mend me, O Yahweh. We can say that in the beginning. We don't have to use the word heal. We can say, mend me, O Yahweh. I am broken, for something is wrong, Abba. Make me whole. Whole within me. Fill that breach. Fill that breach. And that's all I wanted to read out of that definition. If you want, in your spare time, you can go. Let me finish the scripture out. Heal me, or mend me, O Yahweh, and I shall be mended. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. This is the prophet asking Abba Yah to do these things, right? He's going to save us. He's going to mend us. And this is one of my mantras that I will say every week. I will open up with one of the scriptures within Isaiah. And we're going to, I'm going back to the WEBA. I do not like the B's and thou's and the King James. And me and Yeshayahu 53 family, we're going to read the whole chapter. But we're not finished. We're not finished. We just land a foundation on how Abba Yah has healed or mended mankind from the fall of Adam. Who has believed our message? Whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? And these are questions, right? I don't want to rush through this. I want to stop so us who are hearing the word of Yahweh can listen, take in, bring it back up, chew on it some more, take it back down, regurgitate it back up, really hear what the word of Yahweh is saying to us. Really hear. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no good looks or majesty. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. First of all, we got to ask, Abba, why would that put in there? Why you had to describe Savior? What do you know about us as mankind? You had to describe him like that. What do you know about us, Abba? Gonna be handsome. He ain't gonna be nothing to look at. He ain't gonna be one of these great orators or speakers out here. First and foremost, he ain't gonna be that no majesty. He ain't gonna be royalty in that sense. I'm gonna bring him a certain way. On top of that, he's gonna be handsome. He ain't gonna be nothing to look at. He ain't going to be nothing to look at all. What you know about us, Father? That mankind sees the outward beauty. Look at that first. See that first. No trickery. He didn't want no hint. He didn't want nothing but the Ruach HaKodesh to draw him in. The spirit that was in him. This brother right here that we're reading about. Why did you describe him like that? Why did we need to know that? In this day and time, why when we read in the word that's written over 3,000 years ago, we need to know that description of him? Why was that put there? He had to write that. He could have jumped down to the next one. Describe how the brother looked. He know us. He know us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and acquainted with disease. He was despised as one from whom men hid their faith, and we didn't respect him. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our suffering. Yet we consider him plagued, struck by Yah, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The breach, we are mended, right? We are mended, that hole that we walk around with within us. Are we allowing Yahushua to heal that? It's done already. It's a couple thousand years later. It's done. The characteristics of us got to truly believe that and change, really, right? We got to change. By his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he didn't open his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that, before its Bashir is silent. So he didn't open his mouth. He was taken away by oppression and judgment. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living and stricken for the disobedience of my people, they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh. Let me go back. I'm sorry, man. Yet it pleased so an offering for sin. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and Yahweh and Yah's pleasure will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. My righteous servant will justify many by the knowledge of himself, and he will bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was counted with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen, amen, amen. The breach is healed, family. It is healed. It is mended up by this very act right here. Scripture says, all power and authority is given to him on in heaven and on earth. Believe it. And we're going to read something later that I done read a many a times and read over it a many a times. It wasn't until tonight that it stuck out like a sore thumb, like bow. I'm like, ooh. But the question again, even for myself, do you believe it? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. I go to your calling, John 19. Now go to the act of this, what we just read. 19:1-30, family. That's John 19:1-30. So Pilate then took Yahushua and flogged him. The soldiers twisted thorns into a crown and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple garment. They kept saying, Hail of the Yahudis. They kept slapping him. Can we use our imagination while we read this, while we listen to the word of Yahweh? Can we use the spirit that Abba Yah has given us? Let's put ourselves in. We can use this imagination about anything. But let's go back in time. Let's put ourselves there. Let's see this whole act of salvation for us, of the healing of the nations. Let's see it with our minds. Let our ruach go on a journey. Let our spirit go on a journey so we can be there. We can if we allow ourselves to go there. I'll start over. I'll start from the top. So Pilate then took Yahushua and flogged him. And we skipping a lot of the story. We starting the story at where what we just read in Isaiah 53, that is, by his stripes we are healed. We are at this point in the story. The soldiers twisted thorn into a crown and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple garment. They kept saying, Hail, Yahudim, kept slapping him. Behold, I bring him out to you. You may know that I find no basis for a charge against him. Yahushua therefore came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple garment. Pilate said to them, Behold, man. When therefore the chief and the officers saw him, they shouted, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Find no basis for a charge against him. The Yahudis answered him, We have a law. By our law, he ought to die because he made himself the son of Yah. When therefore Pilate heard this thing, he was more afraid. He entered into the praetorium again and said, to Yahushua, where are you from? But Yahushua gave him, really want to know where he was from. We read up a little bit. He was more afraid. They said he made himself the son of Elohim, the son of Yah. And the scripture says that Pilate got even more afraid. First of all, why are you nervous already, Pilate? He's speaking to Pilate's spirit. Remember, his wife already had a dream. She already told her, hey, don't have nothing to do with that man. Yahweh spoke to her, and she was a Gentile. For my Israelite brothers and sisters that think that Yahweh don't speak to the other nation. To the other nation. It ain't the whole nation like he spoke to Israel. Yes, but he spoke to Pilate's wife. She had a dream. She came and told her husband. Put your hands to that. You let them Jews out there. You let them deal with him like that. But he listened to him. He entered into the praetorium again and said to Yahushua, where are you from? Man, is this true what they're saying about you? Is this true? Hey, I got this feeling. I'm a little nervous. I don't know what's going on. Where are you from, man? It's true. But Yahushua gave him no answer. What did he say? What we just read in Yes, Yahu 53. He was dumb before the shears. He didn't answer. He didn't open his mouth. Therefore said to him, aren't you speaking to me? But you're not even speaking to me, evil. You know that I have power to release you and have power to crucify you. Now he's filling this up a little bit. Or trying to really get Yahushua, man, plead for yourself. Speak up for yourself. Say something so I can release you. Now I have the power. Say something so I can release you. Talk about that after service. After this. That's a good question, though. That's a good question. We talk about that IT afterwards. Brother just sent me a question about Pilate's wife. We talk about that a little later. That's a good question, though. But thinking of Pilate is trying to get Yahushua to say something so he can release him. He understands that he has the power to crucify him or to let him go. Yahushua answered, you would have no power at all against me unless it were given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin, right? But just in this thought right here alone, what did Yahushua just do? What level he just put himself on with Job? Remember with Job? Satan running around? Yahweh asked him, have you considered myself? Let's think about Brother Shaul. Whenever these things come upon us, we have to get permission. Same situation that I am, that you are in, and everybody else walking this way. You have no power over me unless it is given to you. We're laughing. But we have to do what Yahushua did. Not my will, but thy will be done. Have to come to that. 12. We ain't talking about that right now. At this, Pilate was seeking to release him, but the Yahudis cried out, saying, if you release this man, everyone who makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Like what we just said. Pilate was looking for a reason to let Yahushua go. But these Yahudis, Israelites, forcing his hand, calling Abba's will. We know and understand that. We know the story. But the thinking of these Israelites forced Pilate's hand, because if word got back to Caesar, somebody running around in your province saying they a king. Afraid he was a little uneasy about Yahushua, but he was much more afraid Caesar would do to him, and not just him, his whole family. And they knew that. Again, we're putting ourselves there. We're going back in time. 13. When Pilate therefore heard these words, he brought Yahushua out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called pavement. In Hebrew, Gabodia. See that? They pulled a trump card, as we would say today, in today's terms, on Pilate. You know, hey, have you heard these words? Yeah. Let me sit him on down. Let me do what I got to do, because I'm thinking about my family. Now, it was, Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover, the Yahudim. Behold, your king. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king. I'm talking about the song Mahalia Jackson sings. And they were talking about, I cannot remember, I'm getting a brain fart, but it's one of my favorite songs Mahalia Jackson sings. Talking about old wretch man that I am. Amazing grace. Nobody in this world deserves more grace than Israel. Nobody in this world deserves more grace than Israel. Because of this act right here, we have no king but Caesar. The leaders of Israel, because that's what they was following. The leaders of Israel. This right here, the greatest sins of Israel, of all their sins, this one right here. And you wonder why, from this point on, the hell that Israel been through, from this point on, you know the history of this people, the hell that we've been through, this act right here, no king. Jesus. You imagine one of your children come to you, I ain't got no daddy. Paid them their whole life. I ain't got no mama. Somebody else, and you birthed them, you done went through birth pains with them. Come spit in your face. Question. But still, deep down, you still want to love that baby, because that baby came out of your legs. Came from, you understood the emotions of them, how you felt the bones coming together. You felt the whole 9 months of this baby forming in you. Y'all felt the same way. I'm just giving us a understanding of that, something that we can see, the pain of Abba Yah. Because just like that woman, baby grows within her. Everything she can, that baby is within her to bring up that child and nurture that child, to eat the right thing, to drink the right thing, to get the proper sleep, to let nothing stress her out while that baby in the womb. See, man, we don't understand that process. But Abba Yah do. With Israel. With Israel. He born Israel. He saw the forming of a nation. He saw everything. He gave us that example of a woman having a baby. You can understand it today, how he watched Israel. And Israel came from between his legs. He bore Israel. And Israel turned around and said this to him. We have no king but Hallel. one of my sons that I had to kick out the kingdom. You go and you get on his side, Israel. That's the equivalent of what they did. Hillel is our king. Fallen is our king. Satan is our king. Yahushua said he was their father. Brought it to fruition. Yes, he is. We have none. So then, delivered him to them, crucified. So they took Yahushua and led him away. He went out bearing his tree to the place called, which is called in Hebrew, where they crucified him and with him two others on each side. And Yahushua in the middle. Pilate wrote a title also and put it on the tree. There was Yahushua the Nazareth, the king of the Yahudis. Therefore, many of the Yahudis read this title. For the place where Yahushua was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Yahudis therefore said to Pilate, "Don't write that, the king of the Yahudis." But he said, "I am the king of the Yahudis." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Soldiers, when they had crucified Yahushua, took his garment and made four parts, every soldier a part. Also the coat, now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then they said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Cast lots for it to decide whose it will be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They parted my garments among them, for my cloak they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things. But there were standing by the tree of Yahushua his mother, sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Therefore, when Yahushua saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From the hour the disciple took her to his home, After this, Yahushua seeing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I am thirsty.' A vessel of vinegar was set there, so they put a sponge full of vinegar on hyssop and held it at his mouth. When Yahushua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head. Gave up this. Let's move on to Yochanan 19. We're not going to get into the whole chapter. We're just going to read bits and pieces of this chapter in 19. But in your spare time, go back and read the account. Go back and read what Yahushua did for you. Every now and then, we got to go back and we got to let these things come back within our spirit, come back within the forefront of our mind. I used to be for myself, I used to watch the Passion of the Messiah or the Passion of Messiah, right? I used to watch that every now and then. And I think I was going through something. And I would put my mind in there and I would see the beating that he took from me. And not just for me, for everybody else. And how, with his life, he healed the breach. He healed us. It's not a disease. Not one thing that ails man cannot be healed, even death, the second one that is. But if we believe, if we live our lives in honor of him, we arise again. If we die tomorrow, if we live our lives in honor of him, And if we believe in what he says, we will see eternal life. We will see that. But we're not going on over to 20, family. We're going to drop down to 15, and we're going to read 15 through 29 in your spare time. Just want to pick up a thought. Read it for yourself. Read the whole story for yourself every now and then. Let it sit in our in the spirit. Yahushua said, and this was after 3 days, he said that he would be in the tomb for 3 days. We didn't miss all that part, and they buried him 3 days just before the Shabbat. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Yahushua said to her, and said to him, Rabboni, don't hold me. Hold up. I got to stop right there. I got to stop it. You know, every now and then when we read these other words, they try to slide some stuff up in there. And if I was just a believer, I might give them this one, oh, y'all. If I just started reading, and I go in here, and I read, and Yahushua said, don't hold me, right? We repeat the whole thing. We follow the whole thing. They at the sepulcher. They in the graveyard. She turned around. She found out that he's not dead. He's alive. And the thing would have us believe that she ran up on him and grabbed him. But we who have been in the Word for a while and understand that she could not do that. She couldn't allow her to touch him, regardless of the affection that she had for him. At that moment, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. He was the sacrifice. He had to go present himself. As we will go in Leviticus and read you the sacrificial part of what the priest had to do. He was his own priest, and he was his own sacrifice at the same time. As the priest presented the sacrifices without spot, without blemish to the Father, he was in the same state, a living sacrifice at the time. He had to present himself to the Father no different than what the priests do in the book of Leviticus. You ever get a chance, go and read it. Not that she was able to run up on him. He wouldn't allow this. If she did run up on him, trust and believe, just like those brothers ran up on him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said he turned around, and boom, they fell out. Power went out from him. Could not allow her to touch him. Every now and then, when you read these other translations, they try to slide these thoughts in, right? And just a simple thought is that we'll have somebody believing something that's false, something that's not true, right? That simple thought, that simple read. She wasn't able to touch him. He didn't. Let's finish the thought. Yahushua said to her, don't hold me. Matter of fact, don't touch me. Now he stopped them. Trust and believe. Because if that was us, hey, I'm sure we'd have ran to him too. Natural reaction, right? Natural reaction. We see one another in a long time. What we do? We run to each other and pound and hug. Something wrong on Miriam's behalf. It's a natural reaction of affection when we love someone. We care that deeply for someone. We want to embrace them. Still on a mission. And that mission at this point was not finished. Don't touch me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my Yah, to my Elohim, and to your El. My El presents himself as an unspot, an unwrinkled, no blemishes sacrifice. He couldn't have nobody touch him at that moment. He was his own priest and the own sacrifice at the same time. Ain't no angel take him up there and show him. He went to his father himself. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had said, she had seen the master and that he said these things to her. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors was locked, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Yahudis, Yahushua came and stood in the middle and said to them, Shalom Aleichem, or peace be unto you, right? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad, and they saw the master. Yahushua therefore said to them again, Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. If you, and this right here, I'm going to read this slow, because for me, it jumped out bow. If you forgive anyone's sins, they have been forgiven them. If you retain anyone's sins, they have been retained. That stopped right there for a minute. Because I know I've read this many times. But it never, you know how something just, it hits you. Never dawned on me. You know how if y'all been under Rabbi Gershom Daniel, look at what you read. Make sure you're understanding what you read. You can hear his voice. Look at what you read. That many times, right? When you answer the question, you answered it wrong, and he was a little upset. Not that you answered it wrong, that you wasn't taking the time to allow the Spirit to first talk to you and listen to what the Spirit is saying and look at what you read. Pay attention to what you read, because he knew and understood that we read so fast and we'd be just reading, we're not paying attention to what we read. And that's happened so times in our life. Or even when Yahweh just wanted to show you something. Sometimes we're outright blinded from the thing. Because Abba Yahweh, it's not time for you to understand it. So we'll read it a million times if we want, slow as we want. It ain't until Abba Yahweh says, all right, open. And your eyes open. But how many see what Yahushua is truly saying to his Talmudim? If you forgive anyone's sins. Hold up. Then we read back somewhere within the gospel or within the full gospel that they got upset with Yahushua because he forgave sins. But Yahushua in turn gave that same ability, the same power, the same authority to his Talmudim, to his disciples, that they had the ability to forgive sins, or tell a person, your sin will remain with you. And that's not nothing to just read over or something to take lightly. That right there was for me a mind-blowing thing. Like, you really gave us the ability to forgive sins? It's if we believe the word of Yahweh. Come to the understanding. But I tell you, a multitude of thoughts came through my mind as I was reading that, and as Abba Yahweh opened that up to me. Remember we had a lesson a while back about purity. Our minds, our spirit have to come to a purity before you're able to do this. And you ain't going to be out there, I'll forgive you for your sins. Oh, you know what? You keep your sins. No. There's a space that you must come to. There's a place that you must come to within Yahweh to be able to do this. And he gave that to his Talmudim, if you believe it or not. He gave that to his Talmudim, that adult. If you forgive anyone's sins, tell me he gave us the power to forgive sins? That's ludicrous in the minds of this world. That's crazy. That's just out of sight, out of mind type. That's unworldly to be able to do such a thing. You will stay in that sin. But he said this and said it in another way. Whatever you loose on earth, whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. He threw the waves. Understanding you must come to. That is a place of relationship you must come to get to this right here. This one right here. And let that be your meditation of the night. Let that be your meditation. This one verse right here, Conan 20:23. What Yahushua said. Let those words marinate in your ruach tonight. For those who have been anointed. But this ain't for everybody. See, and that's another fallacy. That's another wrong thing. That's everybody got that opportunity. Everybody can do that. No, sir. See, Christianity and man have messed up the way we see the word of Yahweh. When we read a lot of these things, he only talking to his Talmudim. And some he's talking to the world. To the rest. Some of these cases, he's only talking to his Talmudim, to his called out one. He's giving that power to everybody. Can't accept that. You cannot accept it. We call them most staunch believers. Cannot accept it. Those who he gave to can't accept it. Come and comprehend it. Thought that Yahweh, Yahushua gave us. What he gave us, we can heal the world. For those that we deem. But we got to be worthy of it. Anointed one. You got to come and be worthy yourself to be able to do things. Worthy ourselves. It's a place within Yahweh. Let's move on. That's how we're going at 29. I'm going on at 29. Family. But Thomas, one of the 12, called, listen, everybody wasn't there, called Didymus, wasn't with them when Yahushua came. The other disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Master. But he said to them, unless I see in his hand the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. If you don't believe that, how you going to believe you got the power to heal people? You have the power to... The disciples who walked with Yahushua. He said, I won't believe in this. I'll be able to touch and feel. I got to see it with my own eyes. After 8 days, again, the disciples was inside, and Thomas was with them. Yahushua, doors being locked, and stood in the middle and said, Shalom Aleichem, to you. Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, because he heard everything. Thomas wasn't even there, right? Yahushua wasn't there in the presence. But Yahushua heard everything he said. Our thoughts. He hear our doubts. He hear when we doubt him. He hear when we believe whatever we're going through have the power and majesty over us. He hear these things. It's almost like if you remember wrestling, he cannot jump in the ring. That's what they say. Remember wrestling? Men out there wrestling and one is losing, or one woman is wrestling and one is losing, one's getting beat down. But they give them the opportunity to get over to the rope, tag their partner, and the partner can come in and help them. You can't get in that ring, you tag them. And that doubt don't allow us to tag them. We can't go over there and tag them because we doubt them. Get in here, Yahushua. As they told the king, hey, we take no matter in what we say to you. If Yahweh don't deliver us, if we do deliver us, either way, we are right. We're not bowing down to your God. We have faith in the Almighty One. And what happened? They tagged Yahushua in. So when they was in that burning fight, Yahushua was in there. Hey, come on, get in here with me. Don't go near me. Don't. Matter of fact, the smell of the smoke man I get near, tag me in. I'm in here with them. They didn't doubt. Their faith pulled them through. Right? Our faith would be the same thing for them. But Yahushua, he's here when we doubt. He's here when we don't have that 100% faith. When we try these other ways, we try to go other routes. Even though we believe, we try to go other routes. We try to look for other things to fulfill, mend that hole, right? Fill that breach. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hand. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Hold up, don't you? Again, we here, right? I hope we still here together. I hope we still there. Can you imagine Thomas' face looking around like, yo, which one of y'all paid? Which one of y'all said this? Y'all know I wasn't going to say it out loud to his face, but somebody told y'all who sure talking about. He came right at me. Soon he come in the door. Don't open your mouth. You said out your own mouth that I won't believe it until I see it, until I be able to touch it, taste it, smell it, use my five senses, right? Brother D. Well, Yahweh gave him a beautiful thing about the five senses. Go back and listen to him. See how Yahweh science to life, his science. Amen? Went right on. So, you know, we'd have been like, well, hold on. This one, I told you. Harvey, I told that to you. Oh, yeah, I know you went back and told. Story everything. He hear everything we say. He hear our thoughts afar off. He hear our thoughts, our doubts, when we're not tagging them in. Thomas answered him. My master, my Elohim, right, his thought pattern changed. He changed, right? Yahushua said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen me and have believed. Amen? Repeat that. Live in that. Believe in that. Be blessed. You ain't seen him. Some of us have. Some of us have. Those who are anointed. And even some of us who ain't. He come to you. He was talking about our generations and generations behind this one right here that he's at. God for those who don't see me and believe my words. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be doubting. Because I hear. I listen and we're going. People are healing scriptures, and then we're going to get on out of here. And we're going to stay in the New Testament. We're going to Matityahu chapter 4 first. It's two out of Matityahu chapter 4, 23. 4, verse 23. And then talking about healing again. Yahushua, all godly, teaching them there in scheme again. Impossible. What I Why would Yahushua separate himself from the people? And how the translators try to translate as if he was not a part, it wasn't his. The word synagogue is here, so we'll use that word. As if he didn't go and see that that's the temple. As the translator again translates, they try to put like he was different, he was separate from them. Like the boy who brought out the passion of whatever, three or something he brought out years ago about the Messiah was black, and then he had all the apostles, multitude of colors. As if they were separate, they were different, they were two different nations. No, they were all one color nation. People of a darker, some light. But they people who had melanated skin, black folk, as they, Yahushua over here, and they over there. No, Israel was Israel. We always had other nations a part of, but we come up for the most part. They just try to put out there that there's a separate in Yahushua. That, you know what? He wasn't a part of them Jews. He wasn't. No. That's why we got to put it like that. As if he was on the outside looking in. What did he tell the lady at the well? For you know not what you worship for worship for salvation is Yahudi. Say that, Yahushua. If you weren't a part of the nation. But that's the translators, again, sliding in these little things, these little thoughts. That's why most people today will believe that they are Christians and he wasn't a Yahudi, that he wasn't a part of the nation, because how these translators has translated the word of Yahweh and put thoughts in people's minds. That's why hard for people to see these things. They read, they believe they're reading. They believe what they're reading and how they're reading it. 23 again. Yahushua went about in all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. And if I was in the King James, right, you can do it yourself, and you can look up the word disease. And he's talking about effeminate men. Now, you will have these preachers out here. You will have people like Art Dyson. And what's the gap to, brother name? Brother that got a gap to, right? Oh, my goodness. Where the glasses is. And they just so filled with this world knowledge. And these two men are supposed to be ministers. And you would tell them sexuality. He never taught about it. What? Shut up. Word and how they were. He did. It wasn't like he was healing them. He was removing unclean spirits because in the night it was a disease and they sick. It was spirits on these people. That ain't no disease. Having unclean spirits. Walking around wanting to be with another man or a woman with a woman. Cornell West. See how they translate it? As he was healing diseases, that there was a disease. And when you look that word up, disease, it takes you to an effeminate man. Hey, no, get up out of here. My men of Israel, they not walking around like that. You got this popping monkey around here, jumping on everybody. So they put out there that it's jumping on. But it's only dealing with the homosexual community. When you look at them vaccine lines, who's filling the lines up? Men. So we'll be moving the spirits that was on these men. Again, it's translated and how they want to control the thoughts of the mind. Ain't no disease. You ain't disease. That's nothing. You want to label for man? No, you have a spirit on you. Motivating you to do these things. Disease? Read it in another place. Let's go up a couple of chapters, family. Let's go to 9, Matthew Yahoo 9. We're going to go through 32 to 28. They understand how to manipulate the mind. As they went out, behold, a mute man who was demon possessed was brought to him. Hold on. A mute man. So this demon blocked his speaking, right? When the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. The multitude marveled, saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the first he says, by the prince of demons, he cast out demons. If y'all was leading along, y'all would say, hold up. Wasn't they casting out demons in Israel? What did they mean? But when the multitude said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. What they mean by that? If the Pharisees, Yahushua said, in another place, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, who do your fathers cast out demons by, right? So he gave them, they were casting out demons. So how is it that the multitude could say that, hey, something like this, we ain't never seen nothing like this. What we have been seeing, we've seen these Pharisees, they go and they do all these prayers, they do all these rituals and do all that. Hey, ain't never seen nobody go up to somebody with a demon and say, get out, and that demon get out. He obey them just like that. That's what was never seen in Israel. The authority over them, you didn't have to do, Yahushua that is, you didn't have to do no ritual. You didn't have to perform no ceremony to get no demon out of it. All he had to do was say a word and that demon gone. Again, the minds of the world today, they got to go through these rituals and all this foolishness to remove a demon. He gave that power. You will have power over demons and trample over scorpions and adders. You will shake them off, as Brother Paul said. He gave that power to you. Saying, hey, you know what? Remember the rabbis and what they had to do? Man, it took them about 5 days to get that demon out of that brother. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, when he tore that house up, man. Right? Just come walking through. Hey, come on by there. Let's go. Ain't no arguing with no demon. You had to do that. We have an example there in the book of Acts when the demons jumped on the vagabond Jews, the scripture says. They jumped on them. They beat them down. They did them wrong. And without that power, they will beat you down. Said to them, the man tried to go up there and imitate what Paul and them was doing. Hey, you know what? Come up out of there. What was the name? You know, Yahushua. Yeah, Yahushua. You know who that is. And they said the demon jumped on them and beat them down. Tore their clothes off. They running about their naked. Told them, hey, you know what, though? Yahushua, I know. Shaul, I know. Who are you? I don't know you. Your name ain't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you know what? I'm about to beat you down. I'm about to rip your behind. I'm serious. For out here faking the phone. For out here doubting. But you know what? Those same Yahudis can turn around and truly give their lives to Yahushua and get that problem. Can't be out here faking the phone. Them demons know. They know in the spiritual world, they know who's serious and who has the power of Yahushua. They know. Well, 35. Yahushua went about all the cities and the villages teaching in the synagogue and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease, every sickness among the people. Again, when you look that word of disease, talking about effeminate men who's walking around here switching, acting like women. That's not for the kingdom. Yahushua do not want that in the kingdom. So how is it all these ministers, all these men, all these people who claim they know the word of Yahweh, homosexuality to run rampant in their churches? And the very one they say they serve would have gotten these spirits up out of there. There ain't no diseases. I won't tell you. It was not a disease. It's not a disease. It is an unclean spirit that has flipped your mind around to make you believe that a man should be used as a woman, or to make a woman believe that a woman should be used as a man. That's what happened to us. It happened to all of us in a multitude of ways. Not just homosexuality that the word teaches against. It teaches against all of them. All of them. And we can't brag or boast about we not doing that, but we doing something. Even to doubt is a sin. Where I'm at, okay. You gotta go to 28? Okay. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore, Yahweh of the harvest, the master of the harvest, will send out laborers into his harvest." Amen? Amen. Got one more go to family, and we're going to the book of the Hebrews. The Hebrews, book of Hebrews. Hebrews. And we're going to read chapter 12. But this right here, I love this book right here, right? Because it's whoever wrote it, as it was taught and as what we have learned. Again, yes, we've been taught them, but what we learn is another level. What we learn, the rabbis can teach, the moraes can teach, but are we learning what they teach? From here to Yahushua come back, and we don't learn, that's one of us. We the ones have to learn. We the ones have to put in, as my brother would say, practical knowledge. Brother Yahweh, that is. We will have to put it into practical living, what we want. And as we live and walk in this world, it will show what we learn. Right? And that's not right. You went to the store and you just got finished learning how to count, and you gave them a $5 bill, and your stuff came up to $1.25, and they gave you a dollar back. But you learned how to count. You didn't put that into good practice. So how much did you learn? Because they owe you more than a dollar. Same thing with the word of Yahweh. What are you putting into practice? What you learned. What's been taught to you. Who Yahweh has set up to feed his sheep. What are you practicing? What are you putting in this practice? This is where that shows what you know. Not because you can sit up there and quote verse for verse, but when we get into these situations, when these things come upon us, you learn to rely on Yahweh and everything. And everything. Look at Proverbs 3:4. The book of Hebrews, I love the book of Hebrews. Me and my dad had a talk about the Hebrews, right? And just a thought, because Israel, again, where the book of Hebrews says you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. That's us. That's Hebrews. That's us. That's the Hebrew Israelites, right? Because Israel, forever arguing about the word of Yahweh, forever arguing, forever getting to these debates, and I just read the comments on Facebook, that's all. And it hurt me so bad that I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to have to get on there one day and go teach. I'm going to go live and teach. And that's how bad it's hurting my spirit. And one day, Abiyad is going to let the lion come out, and the lion going to roar. And one of the things that they said about the Hebrews, right? They talk about Hebrews, which the subject comes up all the time. There's more than Hebrews. Abraham had, Keturah had six sons, which is Hebrews. Esau, which is Hebrews. And we got so many other Semitic people that are Hebrews. And it's like you have to go and you got to talk to Abba about it, right? Because you rarely can talk to three people about it. And at that moment, you can't talk to nobody because you're there. And nobody, not like you'd be able to call a brother or call a sister. And like for me, I just go and talk to Abba Yah about it. And he consoles, right? And one of the things that he was showing me about Hebrews and the thought behind Hebrews, there is a carnal Hebrews, and there is a spiritual Hebrews. So people are right. There are a multitude of nations that are Hebrews, right? Esau have Hebrews, right? They are descendants of Hebrews, right? Keturah sons are Hebrews, right? And carnally, right? They're carnally thinking they are Hebrews, but spiritually thinking, as Jesus had to show me, they are not Hebrews. In his word, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways are not your ways. How my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. That's what he had to show me. How man think on a carnal level. On a spiritual level, there are only one set of Hebrews. One. I don't care if they came out of the loins of Abraham. If they come down in the line of Eber, only one set, the eye in the spirit of Yahweh is mine. Why? Because there's nowhere in his word that you can go and read about the elite people he mentioned any of those nations. Nowhere. Go into or the book of Shemot. When she talks about, he put the Hebrew in here. Is he talking about one of the poor sons? No. They abhorred the Hebrews. Was he talking about one of Esau's sons? No. He called them by their name. This book of Hebrews right here, is he talking about any other nation? In Abba's word, when you read this, and when he's talking about the Hebrew, besides when he gives Eber and Abraham, it talks about Israel when you're talking about Hebrew. Because they are the ones that were sent over from a cross. They are the ones that he foreknew before you was in your mother's womb. They are the ones that your mother and father didn't come together to have a night. They are the ones, when he thought about Yahushua, what nation he was going to bring them through. Right? Yahushua was thought before the foundation of the world. Guess who else was thought of before the foundation of the world? The nation he was going to bring them through. So he had to console me. Because it's so much Israel that they want to fight against Abba so bad, but they want to be his people, but they want to fight against him so bad. That's not to teach, or we don't teach here, that everybody's excluded. How we know that? Go and listen to Brother Yakir El, who is Israel. Go and listen to that. And that is a clear-cut understanding who can be Israel. Say when he come back, he said that his angels, which he called the reapers, they're going to do what? Set the goat on one side and set the sheep on one side, set the goat on one side, right? Who do he call the sheep? Israel. So whoever called for that tree, that wild olive tree grafted in, they are Israel. They are the sheep. Everybody else is the goat who didn't accept the Israel of Yah, right? Don't matter if you blue, black, green, yellow, don't matter. If you come from Australia or anywhere else, take hold of those commandments and have the testimony of Yahushua taking those covenants, the promises, Torah, and we got, I'm getting a brain clock for the fourth one. What do you say? You are a part of Israel. You are no longer looked at as anything else. But let me get into this last chapter. I'm sorry. I didn't teach any while, so I miss it. My spirit misses it. Therefore, let's also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangle us, and let us run let us run with preserving the race that is set before us. Looking to Yahushua, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the tree, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yah. Again, I'm in Hebrews 12, family. I wouldn't say that. For consider him who has endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that you don't grow weary, fainting in your soul. You have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which reasoned with you as with children. My son, don't take lightly the chastening of Yah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom Yah loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. Yah deals with you as with children, for what son is there whom his father doesn't discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have been made partakers, then you are illegitimate and not children. Furthermore, the fathers of our flesh who chasten us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, punish us as seemed good to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. All chastening seems for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised thereby. Therefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man will see Yah. Looking carefully, lest there be any man who falls short of the grace of Yah. Lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you. Any may be defiled by it, and may be defiled by it. Lest there be any sexual immoral person or profane person like Esau, who sold his birthright for one meal. For you know that even when afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for a change of mind till he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to the mountain, to a mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness, darkness, storm, the sound of trumpets, and the voice of words, which those who heard it begged that they not one more word should be spoken to them. For they could not stand that which was commanded. If even as an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moshe said, I am terrified and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable multitude of angels, gathering an assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to Yah, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Yahushua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than of that of Abel. See that you don't refuse him who speaks, for if they don't escape when they refuse him who warned on the earth, how much more will we not escape who turn away from him who warns from the heaven, whose voice shook the earth then but now? He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Praise, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made. That those things which are not shaken may remain. Therefore, receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let's have grace through which we serve Yah acceptably, which with reverence and awe for Almighty One, Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The breach has been healed. It has been healed. All we have to do is believe. Even in the darkest corners, in those quiet times, when we believe that nobody is listening, our God is always listening. It's always right in there. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, everything about us. The breach is here, is it? It's here. Believe it and walk in it. Gave us power, Israel. And that is the end of my blog talk this morning, this afternoon, this evening, rather. And I'm going to end with the closing benediction and end with a prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Magnificent One. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, y'all for opening the Shabbat door. We are well into the Shabbat right now, Father. Father, I ask and praise to all those who came through the door, Father, that your blessing is bestowed upon them, Father. And that your word that went out tonight, Father, that it lays on us, Father, that it stays in our spirit, Father, that it goes around and we bring it down and bring it back up, Father, that we meditate on your word, Father, so we can continue to walk in the simplicity of your word, Father, and your spirit, Father, guide us through this dark and real, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all those who are ailing once again, that you touch them and heal them. Father, you know who needs you, Father, who needs your touching, who needs your power, Father, who needs your healing, Father. Father, I ask and pray that you speak to your Marais, Father, that you continue to elevate them, Father, continue to bring them closer to your mountain, Father. And all Israel couldn't come up, Father, but a few, Father, may those who have been anointed, Father, get where you want them to be, Father. Continue to bring them, Father, continue to shield them, Father. Continue to, not in the sense of lighten their load, Father, but continue to stiffen their legs, Father, so that if their load gets heavier, Father, they can continue to carry it, Father, that they don't stop, Father. And for those who are just Israelites in this darkened world, Father, continue to bless them, Father, continue to hedge them up, and continue to feed them more of your spirit also, Father. So each of us have a job, Father. And for the job that you have given all of us, Father, strengthen us in that area, Father. Build us in that area, Father, so we can be your workers. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Shabbat shalom, Aliyah.
Yours is the power.